made by Jaguars fans for Jaguars fans. This is the Real Till Podcast, the official podcast of Jaguars Reddit. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Real Till r/Jaguars podcast. I am JC, and I'm joined once again by my co-host Chromatos.
What's up, guys? I know you guys missed me a lot last week. Don't worry, I'm here now and forever. And we also have a special guest with us today, Mr. Flounder 19. You might find him on the sub. He's the guy that makes all the flares and emojis for us because I'm too lazy to do anything like that. So, Flounder, welcome. And how's it going, man?
It's going good. It's wonderful to be here. Well, I don't know why I'm talking this voice.
You're good, man.
It's going good.
Good, good. That's what glad to have you on this week. Thanks for volunteering. We could have asked somebody else from the Discord, but glad you're here.
So happy to rant about Bortles.
We all are.
Out of curiosity, how much time, like, I don't know, say like a week, do you spend making flares for the sub?
Like, not that much, because I don't make a flare every week. During the season, when we're doing well, I'll do it. But usually it's just because, like, it'll be Monday Night Football, and I'll just, like, have my computer open and be working on it.
What are some of your favorite flares that you've made?
Ooh, that is a good question. Dad Bortles.
Which one?
The one where he has the little animated one. I gotta go through these.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
That was too good of a question.
Yeah. Didn't he just drop a nuke on him? Yeah, Chad Bortles is good. The one where he's got the jacket as well as the inline, or like raising the Bortles.
Oh, I like the Bort license plate.
Yeah. The big coat Blake was my favorite. Like until like you made the Lambo one that I requested.
Oh, all the Lambo ones. Or no, the Leap specifically.
Yeah, the Leap. Yeah, I asked you to make that one. And then you're like, no problem, dude. Here you go.
right?
I'm like, shit,
I had to
dude.
Add some space under him so it looks like he's jumping. Oh, I like the... there are a couple, the ones we have for like other subreddits, where like I would go into their subreddits, find what their own fans were asking for, but their mods didn't do, and then make them. Fun where they're eating Thanksgiving on the 49ers logo, or the Giants one with OBJ and Eli from that Super Bowl commercial.
There was another one I think you did. It was like a Jason Garrett one. I think I couldn't remember.
Oh, I like that one, yes.
You were upset we didn't do the...
just because I like the eyes. They're really in your face.
Yeah. Well...
I like the one of Ramsey and SpongeBob, too.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one too. I haven't changed my Luna one in a while.
I'm sad about some of the ones like that aren't selectable anymore because I really like the one of Colvin and Myrick. I don't even know high fiving.
Oh yeah, when there was like they were like returning something. I remember that too.
Yeah, we were getting like crushed by the 49ers and they blocked, I think, an extra point and returned it.
So I know we're gonna get into it here in a minute. The subject of the question that I'm gonna ask. But related to flares, on the topic of flares, what's going on with some of the newly acquired players and some of the newly released players? What are we going to do with those flares?
They're still there, and actually, like, I know the Reddit redesign sucks, but I can, like, we have 5,000 spots in there, so I just put them all in there, and like, but they are actually, like, you can access them all, and like, you can make some crazy ass flares. You can have as many as you want in one flare. Well, not as many. There's a character limit.
Interesting.
Stupid ass Reddit redesign sucks. So, still rocking old Reddit until
we all have something to owe to it, because without it, we wouldn't have CSS space.
Right. Yeah. So
putting all our numbers in there is so much better.
I guess the really important thing is, are we going to continue? We're going to have to continue keeping these Bortles flares in here. Because
I'll keep some of them. I'm not going to keep them all.
We have so many Bortles flares. I'm just like going
these
through.
These aren't even like all the ones that are on the sub now aren't all of them. There's more.
I just found 13 right on the top. So, man, it's going to be tough to replace there. So I guess, kind of on those Bortles flares, the guy that will be replacing Blake, Nick Foles. So I guess that Nick Foles probably be the center of our discussion here today. Initial thoughts, go ahead.
Just talking through it, like, rumor, you know, and you're like, that's lazy. The Jaguars, like, have an open quarterback position. Nick Foles is, like, a coming-up quarterback, but, like, we got a high spot in the draft, and, like, we don't have the money to sign another quarterback and have Bortles. And then, like, it keeps going, and eventually you just start thinking, like, could it happen? And then you go back to, like, no, it can't happen. I'm just being ridiculous. And then you hear that they traded or that they signed him. You know, it's the end of an era. It really sucked a lot.
I think we were especially as a mod jet, you know, where we just bullshit and, you know, talk about how many times we banned Freer. But, I think as a mod chat, we were all kind of like, you know, somebody's got to talk one of us off the ledge because, you know, I think we were all kind of in agreement that Foles wasn't really our number one choice. I think it was probably like my sixth choice of who I wanted to quarterback next year. But I personally, I'm slowly coming around to that. I think I even made the announcement on the sub that I've accepted it. He's going to win us a Super Bowl, so it's simple as that. Took a little while, but I was not a fan, and I'm really hoping to be proven wrong, so I can just, you know, start rooting for this guy. If we roll out 1-0 week one, whoever we play, everything will change. So,
I mean, like, by week one, I'll be like, oh, Nick Foles is the greatest quarterback ever, and he will lead us to the promised land. But it's going to take time. Like, he's him, but, like, he just doesn't grab me the way Blake did.
Yeah, I think the hardest part for me, other than losing Blake, because I was such a big fan of Blake, is that just how much of a nerd he looks like, you know?
Right, he just, like, looks like he just got done finishing his taxes.
Right, Blake was such a relatable, like, everyday kind of guy. He's the guy who, like, when I go out to the bar on the weekend, he's the guy at the counter with a Bud Light in his hand. Like, that's Blake Bortles. Nick Foles, like you just said, is the guy who just did his own taxes. Like, that's the hardest part for me. I look at him and I'm like, wow, dude, how do we go from, like, frat guy to, like, you know, math club, you know?
He's more overt about his religion, too, isn't he?
Yes.
The thing is, do they have God in their Twitter bio?
I think Jalen does.
Oh, yeah. Jalen and I think Yanni.
Jalen makes up for, like, oh yeah, believer in Jesus Christ. Well, that's the first thing he put. He doesn't even put quarterback in there.
Are you talking about Foles?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
His Twitter.
Son. Literally all men are sons.
No, but, you know, I've always heard that Nick is a good guy. And one of the big things I heard after the signing was that he was going to be a great presence in the locker room. He was going to be a great locker room leader. And I always kind of imagined that Bortles wasn't that way. He always seemed kind of just like a bro in the locker room. Like, just another, he would be just another guy in the locker room, just kind of hanging out. So I guess that's one positive, that you have arguably the most important position on the football team coming in to be that leader that Blake might not have been. So, I mean, there is that. And like I said, I've always heard he was a really good guy and a really personable guy. So, you know, he may look like a nerd and he may be, you know, very open about his religion. And
I'm not hating on him for it. It's just like, it's different.
He's going to say a lot of corny things in interviews and pressers, but, you know, he's a good guy. He's going to be a good leader in the locker room, so.
For sure, and, you know, everything I've kind of, you know, I've been putting off looking at anything because I would just hoped at the original point it didn't happen. It did, so I was digging in a little bit deeper. Guy seems like a great off the field guy. Everything I've kind of seen, he seems like a good guy, overall a good guy. Somebody very likable that I think eventually will come to love as a Jaguars fan base, but it will take some time. You know, he wasn't everybody's choice, and then, you know, getting over Blake. But like I said, we start out 1-0, and everybody's going to flock and love the hell out of the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it helps. He's clearly a better quarterback than Blake. Like, most of my issues are, like, personal issues. They're like, you know, I'm just attached to Blake. But, like, I think Nick Foles is better. He might not be as well suited for our offense, but, like, didn't really build to Blake's strengths either, so.
Yeah, that's where building off of that, hoping, you know, John DeFilippo, Flip, is what he is now known as to me. Hoping we can build an offense around him. Him and Marone can figure something out to make it work. You know, run pass option. Hopefully we can get, you know, implement that a lot more, and just hope for the best, because our offense needs work badly.
Well, I know for me, my biggest concern when I heard the news, the numbers that were tossed around were, you know, it might be $20-22 million a year. And I was thinking that is entirely too much money to pay Nick Foles. So then when we finally got the news that we were signing him for 4 years, $88 million, I said, wow, we're really paying this guy $22 million a year. But since the contract details have come out, they're not quite that bad. 2019 base is $5 million, so it's only going to be a $5 million hit this coming season. 2020 is $15 million. 2021 is a little less than $15. He's going to have a $5 million roster bonus 2021. And then 2022, he'll have a $20 million base, you know, with some bonuses tossed in and stuff. So the contract really isn't that bad. The worst part of the contract is the $50 million guaranteed. But
I mean, and it's entirely backloaded too. Like, I don't love that about it. Because even if he's good, like, his cap hit goes up. It's up to like 27.5 in year 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We still only, like, we have to eat 12 and a half.
Dead. Yeah.
People always say, like, that like we're gonna like front load these contracts, but I feel like even when we had cap space, we always backloaded contracts.
I feel like some of the most recent ones, like the first year, the cap hit was extremely low. It was kind of like what we did with like Bortles last year. That front hit was low, and then I think we did that with Norwell too.
Front hit. So was Norwell's low. Gonna be more now.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. That's something now I'm kind of curious at. I'll look it up here. But yeah, I think the front hit was low and then eventually got bigger.
So Flounder, what are your expectations this year, this team with Nick Foles in command?
Oh, okay. Let me think. The Colts are hyped up, so like really underwhelming or like probably pretty good. The Texans, I love disrespecting the Texans, so they're going to suck. And, you know, the Titans will do that thing where, like, one game in front of us or one game behind us the entire season.
It's Super Bowl.
I'm not ready to believe yet. I'm going to say 7-9.
Okay. The biggest doubt for me is how good the division is getting. Indianapolis, they have so much cap space right now. They can sign anybody they want, which a lot of people were worried they were going to try to make a play at Le'Veon. But I mean, that team's getting better. They have a ton of cap room. Houston's getting better.
They're probably going to make some big trades this season if they're doing well.
Yeah.
Large cap players like we did with Darius.
I mean, the division is definitely getting better, and we're kind of just there after that 2017 season, which we weren't we weren't a great team. I mean, we were only 10-6. We just had a lot of injury luck. So
I mean, but we've just been so lucky on defense for injuries. Like, obviously it was like perfect, mm-hmm. but like most of our defense was just there. Like, they missed a couple games, but not really. I think Miles Jack played every down.
Miles Jack is absolutely the Iron Man of this team.
Which is hilarious, because he has injury worries coming out of the draft, right?
That's why he went to the second. He was the guy everyone was worried about. That's why he dropped to the second. That's why we were able to trade up and get him in the second. He was a first-round talent, and people were worried about his knee injury in college. And he's been our Iron Man.
For sure. That I didn't expect. Ramsey, I expected to be good, but not Miles. Like, he has been.
So, Crom, what do you think? What's your expectation now that Nick Foles is officially in charge?
I'd like to think if we don't win a Super Bowl within the next 3 years, it's legit a bust signing. But
what if, I mean, if we went to the AFC Championship game, you would say it's a bust signing?
The way that I see it, they signed him because they think he can win a Super Bowl here at Jacksonville, or they wouldn't have signed him. So that's my expectation every year. So my expectation is 4-year contract, 4 years. I want a Super Bowl. I honestly think our best shot is going to be within the next 2 years.
Oh yeah.
So, especially next year.
So let's touch on Blake real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, due to the signing of Nick Foles, we did have to release Blake Bortles. He did have a pretty stout contract, so there really was no chance of holding on to him as a backup or what have you. Since it was a pre-June 1st cut, we are saving $4.5 million, which is nothing, but I guess they were just...
We save more next year.
Yeah, yeah.
That helps.
Yeah, if it were post-June 1st, I think it would split 9.5 this year and 9.5 next year, I think. But it definitely does help that we'll have all of that cap room next year from cutting Blake early.
And that's where next year's pops into Foles, gets all of his next year as well. So, and that's where, I mean, that's the main reason they did it this year. They fixed the cap hit for Foles this year to offset with Bortles this year. So that's next year, naturally. Bortles will fall off and Foles will jump up.
We're going to be in the same cap situation next year, which is worrisome because that's when the signings come up.
Right. So where do you think Blake is going to end up, if anywhere?
Logically, I don't know what teams out there really kind of need a backup quarterback that bad. But, I mean, if he's looking to start as of right now, Miami Dolphins. If he's going to start anywhere, it would be the Dolphins. Everywhere else kind of has a starter in place.
Yeah, I feel like he would be well suited to like just kind of wait until, you know, that like early in the season when some quarterback gets like gruesomely injured and the team is just like, we need a quarterback. He could like feast then, but you know, if I'm him, I sign with whoever's offering me money now.
Well, before we got on, Crom and I were talking, and Crom was saying he was hoping we'd have some kind of news by now of, you know, Blake going somewhere. So then we were saying he's probably just sitting back drinking a beer, just like relaxing. He doesn't have to worry about football or anything else, you know?
He's been smart with his money. You think he's like, because if you have been, you can afford to wait.
Oh, yeah.
It's the off season anyway.
Yeah, He's sitting at home watching some basketball or something, watching UFC or I don't know, out with the stoolies, drinking Bud Lights, just chilling, doing nothing.
He does have a kid now too, so I mean he may be taking this as just, you know, time to spend with his kid and not worry about football or anything else.
Could be.
But wherever he ends up, I wish him the best of luck. And if he decides to not go anywhere, then I wish him the best of luck in the rest of his life.
Yeah, I think we all wish him a lot of luck. Obviously sign with anyone in the AFC South.
That's what I said. As long as it's nobody in the division, we can root for him.
Like, am I going to root against him if he signs with someone in the division? Like, it's
Blake. It would hurt.
It'd just be like, no, Blake, I can't be mad at you.
It would hurt. That's what I can say. So, kind of speaking on the division here, the only really big division news was that Titans have traded for a better quarterback than they already have right now in Ryan Tannehill. So, 1 year deal, him and Mariota combined are going to just miss like at least 12 games combined, is my over or under right now.
Is that third?
I mean, I guess if there's any news in the division as well, that's it. You guys have any ideas or what do you think about that?
Well, yeah. Tannehill to Tennessee. Considering that their, you know, quarterback depth chart consisted of Mariota and Gabbert, it's a very, very lateral move. That the most interesting thing about Tannehill, about the trade, was that Miami actually paid $5 million of his $7 million contract for this coming season. So Tennessee only has to pay him $2 million.
Right.
Oh, that's nice. So what did they trade for him?
A fourth.
Damn. That's not bad.
So it's a fourth actually in 2022.
All it cost him was
should trade a 2024 for Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
$2 million cap hit? What the fuck?
Exactly. So, yeah, Tannehill to the Titans. And then
what a great deal.
And you said, Crom, you were saying that you guess they miss a combined 13 games?
I said, we'll put it at 12.5.
Okay. So they're going to miss a combined 12.5 games. And then I heard Flounder kind of peek in with who's their third. I have no idea who third on their depth chart is.
Isn't it Gabbert?
No, they released Gabbert.
They drafted somebody last year. I can't remember. It was another one. It was like late flyers. He went like 199, and like everybody was like jerking off like, oh my God, it's the next Tom Brady. But I don't remember who it was.
Well, I mean, you've got guys like AJ McCarron available in free agency. So, you know, maybe AJ is going to be their third.
Plausible.
Maybe AJ will be our third. I hope not.
I mean, they'll probably like draft some random, like,
at least Tennessee got Tannehill and not, AB or Le'Veon or something.
I didn't think they were going to go to Tennessee, but I was definitely afraid of the Colts getting them. It's outside of like the argument about whether paying a running back that much money is worth it or not. Like, division against Le'Veon Bell twice. Like, yes, at least the Jaguars like are one of the only teams that was like well suited against the. Against us in the playoffs? Say us, like I was playing, but
I literally zoned out there. I was looking something up.
Did all, because I know like one of them was injured for like everything, but didn't Le'Veon Bell or didn't Bell, Brown, and Roethlisberger all play against us in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Was that their only playoff game where they were all playing?
I don't know.
They made it to the playoffs before, but naturally they didn't do shit. So it doesn't matter. Mr. Big Chest is back. Mr. Big Chest.
Yeah.
To the Raiders.
Yeah, Mr. Big Chest to the Raiders. Is he going with that name, or is he like, did he change it to Mr.?
It doesn't matter. It's
Mr. Big Checks or something.
Mr. Big Chest.
But yeah, to the Raiders in a move that, let me say, the trade surprised no one. The trade to the Raiders may have surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, what was that, a third and a fifth or something for, I mean, arguably a top three, not arguably a top three wide receiver in the NFL right now?
I would still put him at number one, the best wide receiver in the league.
Like, he wasn't as good last year, but, like, he really has to fuck up before I'm going to, because you don't doubt Antonio Brown. I mean, fantasy football knows that.
Yeah, he's really good. That trade to the Raiders for a third and a fifth, I imagine Pittsburgh might not have found anyone else who would take him with his contract.
I mean, the Browns could have.
Yeah. And we'll talk about a big Browns trade in a moment also. But, I mean, to Oakland, for them... I mean, obviously, as soon as he got there, they gave him a new contract. But, I mean, outside of the Browns, nobody may have wanted to take on the contract that he had or, you know, were willing to renegotiate the contract that he wanted. But a third and a fifth for AB is, in my opinion, it's an absolute steal because... Like I said, I still think he's the best wide receiver in the league.
Yeah, I mean, like, because it's not like you can draft those kinds of wide receivers. Like, you think you can, and then they just don't always pan out. He's panned out.
The other big wide receiver trade is Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns, which, coincidentally, on last week's podcast... Jags Freak actually brought up to us during the podcast that a lot of Browns players were making some just like weird tweets about like someone coming over, and then he saw a rumor that OBJ might be going over, and then I don't know, a couple days later OBJ was going to the Browns. What do you think, first of all, what do you think of this trade of my New York trading OBJ, and what do you think of this Browns team right now?
I mean, should we start with what a dumpster fire New York is, or like the optimism for the Browns?
Start with New York. Please shit on New York.
Oh my god, like, what the fuck is going on in New York? So, like, they take a running back early, like we did, and you know what? That's turning out well, but, like, it's still very expensive. Like, because of the cost, it's not as much of a slam dunk as taking, like, a different kind of player early, and they're, like, immediately the best at their position. But that's great. And then you trade away, like, your best receiver, your, like, rock star receiver. You keep Eli Manning... I'm sorry, Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl MVP, Eli Manning. You keep him, and then you sign Golden Tate. What? They better land those fucking draft picks.
The only thing I could think of is that there has to be something going off the field. That, I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense. Because you're giving up, you're getting a number 17th overall pick who you can only pray turns out to be as good as OBJ, and then like a late third rounder,
last third rounder.
Yeah, and that's the only thing I can think of that makes any sense at all, because you don't trade away a top 20 player in the NFL
I mean, yeah, the contract. I mean, but it's, somebody's going to have to pay a contract. You're going to pay a contract no matter what for your All-Stars. But to pay a contract like that and then, you know what, say, you know what, we're done with it, is just, it blows me away. Like I said, I mean, OBJ is, he's young. He's in his prime. And, I mean, he's made plays his entire career. So it makes no sense to me.
I think they were afraid of the contract they were going to have to pay him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Kev, and like, even if he's good, like, you don't see the Giants doing well this year, certainly. I guess they could go and then they would get rid of Eli. But I don't know why they... I don't know. They'll still probably draft a quarterback.
I don't know what's in the water this year.
Think they'll take one.
So touching on that, what do you guys think about the Browns this year?
The Browns look like a scary football team. They the only thing I could see maybe being a problem here there. Okay, Siri. I guess Siri wanted to tell me how the Browns yeah, did last year. They have a lot of different personalities on that team. I mean, if anything, that might be their biggest problem. But if that team, with the youth and the talent, the combination of those two things on that team, if they put it together, they're going to be a scary team for the next few years.
Especially if, Baker continues his trajectory. I mean, he kind of showed it at the end of the year last year. He turned it up, but he takes another step. That's a scary offense for sure.
Uh-huh.
A very scary offense.
I mean, okay, they've got Baker. He played exceptionally well last year. They have
OBJ.
Yeah, they've got OBJ now. They had Chubb, who played well last year.
They have Landry, who probably is going to feast as not the primary wide receiver.
Right. There are two very good wide receivers on the field. It's going to be, they're going to have a crazy offense.
Kareem Hunt. He's suspended 8 games. They just announced that today, but yeah, right, he'll be back as well.
Right, he's suspended 8 games, but, you know, say they play well for the first half of the season, and then he comes back and he's just as good as he was in Kansas City, and then you've got really good wide receivers, two really good running backs.
Decent offensive line.
Isn't their defensive line, like, stacked?
Yeah, D-line, they just picked up, they got Olivier Vernon as well.
Yeah, their D-line was stacked, but as far as just rankings in their defense last year, their overall defense was pretty bad. Their secondary's pretty bad, I believe. But
didn't they just trade one of them away too?
Yeah,
Jabril Peppers was traded. He's in the OBJ trade.
That's a good name. That's the kind of name you'll people will always remember you is because your last name is Peppers.
Yeah. Right. Kind of wrap this up here. We'll touch on our final thing here, that we just kind of glossed over a little bit here. But now that we have Foles as our quarterback, I mean, what are we looking at in the draft right now at 7? Because, I mean, naturally, I'm assuming we're going to go offense, but we'll take D-line. But what are you guys' initial thoughts now that we have the quarterback where we're going in the draft here?
Oddly enough, some people still expect we're going to draft a quarterback at 7. There's absolutely no way that we spend as much money as we did on Nick Foles and draft a quarterback with the first pick of in the first round of the draft. I think we're gonna draft offensive line in the first round. Second round, I think we're going to draft a tight end. Third round, I think we're going to go back to offensive line. And the rest of the draft, I think we're going to it's going to be a mix of defense and a wide receiver somewhere, maybe another practice squad quarterback or something. But I think the first three rounds will be offense. I think it's going to go O-line, tight end, O-line.
I agree with that general thing, but I think they're going to interview the quarterbacks. They're probably going to pick some they like, and if one or two, really. And if they fall to us, they'll take them.
So you think,
if there's a young quarterback, but the Redskins leveraged everything to trade for RG3 and then didn't even have a second round pick. And wait, was it not a second round? Their next pick, they took.
So I guess here, let me put this scenario. Haskins is on the board at 7.
I think we take him. I don't think he will be on the board. I agree. I think we're probably going to do a line, or if a defensive superstar is there, can they really resist themselves? But
Ed Oliver at 7 option. I could see it.
Totally. I do not follow recruits enough though. I just I know I'll hear about him once we draft him.
That's fair.
Or if we're expected to draft him. There's too many. There's too many to keep track of.
I almost expect this team to, instead of drafting the best player available, they're going to try their best to stick with this win now mentality that they're in. I think they're going to try to protect Nick Foles as much as possible, and they're going to stack up on O-line at the beginning of the draft, and they know that Nick Foles loves targeting tight ends, so I think they're going to grab a pass-catching tight end. I don't think they're going to fall back into the habit of grabbing the best defensive player that's available, I think they're going to try their best to protect Nick Foles in this draft.
Yeah, I think first three rounds we're going to see offensive line, tight end somewhere. Those first three picks in the offense. This is actually one of the big things, the main reasons that I've kind of accepted the full signing, is we have so much flexibility now in this draft that we build offense this next 2 years. If he flops, whatever, throw the entire farm up, Trevor Lawrence, whatever we got to do, get a quarterback, and we could have offensive pieces. So my guess is, at number 7, ideally we'll see a trade down, because I don't see an offensive piece that detrimental right there that could change the game. But we flop down to 7, or we trade down at 7, pick up a couple more picks somewhere, build the offense even more, take a tight end, take an offensive lineman, and just put the ball in Foles' hands and let's see what happens.
We did make 2 signings this week. We re-signed AJ Cann, and we signed the tight end from the old tight end from Dallas. What is his name?
Swaim.
We signed Swaim. Him today. So yeah. We've made 2 signings so far, other than the big full signing.
Jeff with a G.
Crom, do you think we're gonna have any kind of big signings, or do you think we just threw everything at Nick Foles?
I think we're done. It's just, we spent so much. That's it.
We got 12 million left, and we need 10 to sign rookies.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
You can't. There's who can you sign? You can sign a backup.
Yeah, I see people kind of
cut more people.
I see people kind of sitting around waiting for us to make more moves, and I'm just like, with what money? We're not going to sign.
It's left to cut.
Yeah, we don't have any depth anywhere hardly. So It doesn't seem like it, you know? I mean,
we have no running backs.
I know, that's what I was actually just looking
at. We have no running backs. We have no tight ends until today.
Running backs is what frightens me the most at this moment, because it's just like an actual, there's no one.
Yeah.
There's like Fournette, and I know how fragile that is, and then there's Rawls, and I certainly know how fragile that is.
Well, maybe if all of our running backs, you know, get injured, then we'll actually pass the ball on first down, you know? I mean, maybe there's a silver lining there.
No. We tried this last year. We were like, oh, we won every game that Fournette was out. It didn't work out. We need him. We need him.
I do think we're going to draft one.
Fournette, Rawls, and Williams. Yeah, we'll definitely see probably another somewhere round 4 through 7.
Yeah.
So we've got two guys that are perpetually injured, and then one guy who is a practice squad running back and a relatively unknown.
Whatever happened to all our good like preseason running backs from last year?
Whatever happened to Jamal Charles? Jaguars.
He retired.
Well, you know, if we offer him, $1 million, he might come back. You know, you never know. Damn. Mr. Flounder 19.
13 rushes, so.
13 rushes?
Yes.
Who, Carlos Hyde?
He's dead.
Who had 13 rushes?
He's dead.
Grant.
Oh, Grant. Yeah, Grant. Okay. Yeah, Grant did die.
In the preseason when we ran all those like two running back sets.
Yeah. I would love to see a two running back. It would be
especially for like a running back centric team.
I don't know, but you know, they just want to run the ball up the middle with the big muscly guy.
At least it's better than when we ran the ball up the middle with like the not big muscly guy.
Denard Robinson up the middle. Yeah.
Denard is a saint and I will not have him disrespected.
I love Denard Robinson. I was really high.
This is also a shout out for my subreddit r/Denard Robinson, which I created 4 years ago.
I was really high on Denard. He's also my favorite Jag to ever run a car into a lake. So,
but is he your ever favorite Jag to ever put something in a lake?
Probably.
I mean, well, it's either him or Fowler, I guess.
Yeah. I'm sure Blake has put something in a lake at some point.
Oh, yeah. His name rhymes with Lake.
That empty Bud Light can. You know, he just finished a sixth, and he just threw one in the lake and then cracked open another one.
Honestly, you know,
like a guy who throws dynamite in a lake, like once, you know?
Right.
All right, well, I guess we're pretty much done here. So, Flounder, do you have any parting words for either of us or our listeners on the sub or the Discord?
Fuck the Texans.
Okay, that's a different one, but I like it.
We don't know. I agree.
Fuck the Texans. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week, and
dog.
We will try to let Luna squeak some squeaky toys. So,
go.
Later.
Later.
Later.